Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled because today we have with us Rico Marciano. Rico lives an extraordinary life, overflowing with passion, an award-winning career, and many adventures in paradise. As a young athlete, he played championship teams in just about every sport, learning the value of mental discipline, physical condition, and winning mindset. As a physical fitness professional and award-winning career spanning nearly four decades, he designs motivational exercise programs for brain and spinal cord injuries, orthopedic and neurological problems, pro, amateur, and disabled athletes, strength and conditioning programs, and breast cancer survivors. And he is such an interesting person doing so much good in the world. He has appeared on all the major networks, and we're just thrilled to have you here with us today, Rico.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here with you.
I wanted to ask you, you have a best-selling book coming out. You have done some amazing things on film, chronicling the Chariots of Courage. When did you come to your passion and purpose as just a superb athlete yourself to be helping people that were not so fortunate?
Well, it was sort of by, like most things in life, hook or crook. I was in the right place at the right time. I was one of the directors of the Dr. Seema's chiropractic practice that he had and the futuristic rehabilitation. And so a lot of the trainers that were there helping with the different rehabilitation, they didn't want to come in early, they didn't want to stay late, and the people that were in wheelchairs were extremely hard, so they didn't want to do them. So Doc says, well, do you want to do them, Rico? I said, sure, yeah, I'll do them. And that's really how it happened. From there on, it just grew. It was like crazy. But it just people come from as far away as Sweden to work with me, and without solicitation.
That is just incredible. So the work you do is so special. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, like you said in that nice introduction, brain damage, spinal cord injuries. I mean, it's the saddest thing when you think about those two things, that one day a person is maybe athletic, he's going to the movies with his girlfriend, and then all of a sudden, on the way home, bang, the car hits you, a drunk driver, which is not unusual, by the way. That's the unfortunate part. And from that day on, you are no longer that same person that you were before. So these poor people are looking to, you know, there's various stages they go through, by the way, but they're looking to, you know, hopefully get better. And once they find out that it's not as easy as they thought, you know, there's different stages that they go through in the hospital and then in the physical therapy and the physical rehabilitation in the hospitals first. And then what? So thank God, I guess. I love to work with these people. I love it. It's my passion. If I could have anything to do on earth, I could work 12, 13, 14 hours a day with them and never be bored.
That is so incredible. It has to be unbelievably rewarding. So tell us a little bit about what brought you to do this documentary film that has won so many awards.
Yeah, the Chariots of Courage won four awards, and again, it was another one of those mystic moments, if you will. I was working in the front part of Gold's Gym in the Promenade, which is in Palm Beach Gardens, very nice area here. this guy came up as I was working with a very unbelievable disabled brain damaged guy that had, again, was hit by a drunk driver. And I had him in a standing table, and this guy come up to me, and he's just watching. So I go, may I help you? And he said, I've been here 2 weeks from New York. And he goes, I'm amazed at what you do with these people. He said, I'd like to do a documentary or a video or something on you. And I'm just looking at him like, how many times would somebody come up and say that at anybody else's workplace, right? I mean, you know, if you're working in a coffee shop, who's going to come up to you and say, hey, I want to do a documentary on your waitressing or something? I mean, just think about it, right? And I look at him like, did he really say what I thought he said, right? And so, you know, that's how it happened. And, you know, I mean, a lot of things in between that we had to do, of course, to set up. But, yeah, we did the film. It's an hour-long documentary, and I just showed it to my editor of the book, Dr. Lina Lykin. Say that fast real quick, you know. But anyway, she was moved by all the doctors that had referred people to me. And you don't want to go into it. If you cried during Brian's song, the movie, you'll definitely do it here too. So it's a definite good thing for you to listen to watch. It's people overcoming obstacles that you would have never thought that they would. So the book has got even more stuff in it. I mean, more people, more different types of situations, if you will. And I think that the people are really going to love this book. If you're a good reader and you like great stories, you're going to love this book.
Fabulous. Well, I want to talk with you about the book and what motivated you to write it and so forth. But before we go into that, I would love to know if you have some kind of secret tips that motivate these people so highly and so, you know, consistently when they're really in bad shape. Most of us have trouble getting motivated when we're in optimum health.
Well, the first thing it is, and it's really important that you don't coddle them, pity them, have tears of them. You treat them just like I would treat you or any other athlete or professional athlete that I've trained. I treat them the same way. And that's the key factor, because remember, they are on a quest to get back to the general population. They don't want to be really deep down coddled and babied. And so when I do these things, I treat them just like I would treat anybody else. And I think that really makes them feel like they're coming back. And I don't do it at a therapy center. I do it at the gym where there's all kinds of people there. And so when you think about that, the music's going, the pretty girls are coming and going, and all of a sudden, you know, you feel like you're back at some form of normalcy. And that's the key to it.
Fantastic. So now you've done the documentary. Now you're doing this wonderful book that we're thrilled to help you promote to bestseller. And I know it's going to be just a tremendous success. What made you decide to start writing, and particularly writing this book?
Well, again, it was one of those things. I was sitting here at my desk in between clients, and I get a call from some lady on LinkedIn. And she was a small publisher, and I didn't know really much about her except for just seeing her picture maybe and once in a while on LinkedIn. And she asked me, she said, have you ever thought about writing a book about the documentary that you had? You could put a lot more people in it. This time of life, you can reach a million people at a button. Press a button and you've got people out there that could want to buy it, Amazon, etc. And so I said, well, sure, how hard can it be? Huh. Well, it's not hard if you want to be a slouch and a hack. But if you want to do a good book, I did a lot of research. I talked to a lot of editors, book designers, book coaches, you name it. I talked to them. I wanted to do it the correct way, or I wouldn't do it. I'd throw it right in the trash if I can't do it right. My mother told me and taught me good. She said, if you can't do something right, don't do it at all. So that's how it happened. Again, another sort of glitchy type of thing, you know?
Yeah, it seems that because of the way you live your life and the amazing contribution that you make. These wonderful things happen to you all the time. I just think it's terrific.
Well, the first day that I was in Gold's Gym, I went out on my own, had my business, and the first day, I remember the time, 11:30 a.m. in the morning, and I was sitting there at 11:30 a.m. after I got done with one of my favorite clients. He was with me for 21 years, 5 days a week, never missed a day, by the way. That's what you call establishing positive, habitual, daily patterns. So anyways, I was sitting there with him, and this lady, I thought she was falling off the treadmill. And I went to grab her. I said, "Are you okay, lady?" "Oh, yes, I just want to ask you something. Listen, I don't mean to interrupt you in your session, but I'm a reporter from ABC. Do you mind if I did a story on you and this guy in the wheelchair?" And from then on, I mean, it was just after that one, you know, interview, boy, it come all over from everywhere. They just came out of the woodwork, you know, ABC, NBC, all of them. I mean, crazy stuff. Body by Jake called me up on the phone, old his executive producer, and I remember thinking, I thought it was somebody from the gym kidding me, you know what I'm saying? That, and I said, "Who is this really?" And she goes, "No, it's, I can't remember her name, but I'm the executive producer's assistant, and Jake would like you on his show." And I'm just sitting there thinking, how many times does this happen again, unsolicited? So I said to her, I said, "Well, listen, I'm not a negative person. Can you tell me who referred you to me?" Because somebody had to. She just didn't pick out all the stars or something, you know? And she said, "Well, do you know Michael Reed?" And I said, "Yes, he's a physical therapist that was one of the professional experts in the documentary and in the book." So she said, "Well, Michael went to school with the executive producer. They went to college together out in California or something. He called up Michael and said, 'Michael, do you have any patients that have overcome great obstacles and would make good stories for television?' And Michael said, 'No, not really, but I think I got the guy for you.'" And that's how they came to me.
That is so wonderful. Well, I wanted to ask you, you know, you inspire so many others to do these unbelievable things and make just amazing changes in their life. What inspires you to do your writing and become creative that way? What are some of the inspirational things that really move you?
Well, you know, the idea of teachings, you know, ever since I listened to Earl Nightingale's The Strangest Secret, I really realized that I'd been living that all the time. And I used to make anybody that wanted to train with me had to listen to that CD before they come to me because they had to know what I was expecting from them. And amazingly, they all did great. I mean, this is just over the top. I'm a sap, really, deep down, okay? I mean, I see these people come in crutches or in wheelchairs and stuff, and I want to go up to them and hug them and say, "Oh, my God," you know, but I don't because that is counterproductive. You need to treat them just like they would be if they was on the football field or on the basketball courts. You got to get their mind. You got to break the abnormal movement patterns and change the way they think, the abnormal thought patterns. Once you do that and they're in the right direction, then, boy, nothing can stop them. They go like gangbusters.
Oh, that is so powerful, really, truly powerful. You know, when you find that you're doing your writing, do you run into some challenges?
My challenges for the writing, I got to say, I started the book and I got to a point where I had this one person, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to give away his name because I don't want somebody to see his name and go, "Oh, my." But I come across this young boy's name. I mean, he was with me for about 3 years. And again, unsolicited, here you go again. I was sitting in my office at Gold's Gym. I get a call. But by the time I got there, they hung up on me. So I didn't think much about it. 10 minutes later, this guy comes through the door with his son in a wheelchair. I assumed it was his son. And he said, "Hey." And I said, "Hi, I'm Rico Marciano." "Yeah, I know. How could I not know you? I turn on the TV at 6 o'clock, and there you are on the news. 11 o'clock, you're there." And I thought, wow, this guy must be something. So the next morning, he reads the paper, and they did an article on the documentary that was going to be produced. So he said, I did. I put my kid in the wheelchair, and I said, we got to go see this guy. So that's how he came to me. Now, this kid was hit when he was 8 years old by a city bus in Montreal. And his arm was knocked off. Fact is, when the paramedics came, they couldn't find his arm, and they saw a dog running down the street with it in his mouth. And so they went and they got the arm, and miraculously, they reattached it. I mean, I always thought that was something really great. The doctors must have been really good. So from 8 years old to 13 years old, he was in the hospital. And from 13 to 15, he averaged 10 and a half months in the hospital. Poor kid, I mean, he never got to play Little League or make love to his favorite girl or whatever, you know. He didn't have a real normal childhood, obviously. So they heard of me from a relative that lived down here. And when they came down, they had a winter house, I guess you can call it. And they came to me, like I told you. So the first day I was talking with him, I said, go to this neurologist. He might have bad medications, and I'm not qualified to talk about that, but my neurologists are. So he went there, and he said, yeah, Rico, he was on far too many medications, and that's why he was having seizures a lot. And so this neurologist, Dr. Brown, he set his meds, and the kid that whole year was never spent 1 minute in the hospital, not 1 minute that whole year, the first year he was with me. So I found that a miracle. I mean, and that's why I always say, if I don't know something, I'm not going to try to tell you I do. I just call up the best of the best doctors that we got in South Florida and say, hey, what about this? And they tell me, or I will send them to get, you know, an evaluation or something. So they were very thankful that he was doing so well. And he was littler than 15. I mean, when I say littler, he was small because he got injured at such an early age. He didn't develop like most kids would at 15 years old. But he got strong as sin. I couldn't believe how strong this little skinny kid was. And then after the first year, she said, well, you know, I think I want to just bring him in and try to save a couple of dollars. So 2 weeks go by, I never see him. All of a sudden, I get a call, and it's from the emergency room, intensive care, actually, at the hospital, Palm Beach Gardens Hospital. And they say, are you Rico, the trainer? And I go, well, yes, I guess I can be called that, you know. And so they said, well, this particular person, their parents want you over here right now. So I literally ran from the gym to the hospital, and I said, well, I don't think I can get in the intensive care. They said, no, the family says you're okay, you go in. So I went in, and here the kid was laying there with the oxygen on, and he had all these nurses around him. So I walked right in, I walked up to him, and I go, hey, what are you doing? You got all these pretty girls around? You don't call me to come and share a couple of them with me? What's going on here? You know, so the parents started laughing. He started smiling. The doctor showed me the x-rays of his spine. It would look like a hardware store. The two pieces of his spine was held together by this gigantic, I don't know exactly the terminology, but it looked like a big screw, you know. And so all of a sudden I talked with the doctor for a few minutes, and he says, come with me. And he went over to the parents, and he said, never let this boy get away from this man ever again. Do not take him away from him ever. And so he was with me for a long time, you know. But I will tell you something. What happened to him was tragic. And I'm just going to leave it at that, I think. I'm going to leave it open. Hopefully the book will tell it better than I can. But his story was the reason I stopped writing about the whole book for about a year and a half, because I couldn't write about it. I broke down every time that I heard from this, because the truth of it is, I told these people that, you know, his immune system, even though he's doing better, they wanted to change his Harrington rods. If you don't know what Harrington rods, they're like, just picture rebar in someone's back. That's sort of what it's like. And it supposedly keeps you straight. But the idea is the muscles keep you upright. The bones are just there to put the muscles on. So I recommended that they didn't do it. And they were just so, you know, wanted him to give him everything, every possible chance in life, but that wasn't part of it. And in the end, well, let's just say it didn't turn out really great. So it was hard for me to write that because I cared so much for this kid. You know, he did so well. And just the thought of it was crazy. So one day I remember saying, that's it. You know, the father called me up and said, I think he waited to go on just so he could see you and say goodbye, which was sort of impossible to say since he was on a machine that was keeping him alive, but he could hear everything I said. And so the next day he called up and said, you know, I don't want you to blame yourself because you didn't do anything. He goes, actually, you gave my son a life. And I just, you know, thought, wow, that's nice of him to say that, but it doesn't help. So the next minute I said, you know, that's it. I'm quitting. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm done. If I can't save or talk somebody into not doing something to someone that was detrimental, I mean, I thought I lost my touch. Not with my training, obviously, but with my advice. So I was getting ready to go, and I was going to finish up all my patients that I had left, clients, whichever you want to call them. And as I was leaving for the day, this guy, an older gentleman, he sort of looked like me, but older. You know what I mean? Like my father's age or something, right? And he come in with his kid. I assumed it was his kid in the wheelchair. And he said, hey, do you remember us? And I said, well, not really, but I know you're related to someone. And he was related to one of the National Physique Committees. That was his uncle, okay? So what happens? I said, yeah, what could I do for you? And he said, do you think you could do anything with this kid? And I'm looking at him, and he didn't even look like he could speak or anything, right? I mean, it was. And I said, well, no, I'm going to be done with this. I'm just finishing up my patients here, and when these are done, then I'm going to leave and go into something new. And so he goes, oh, really? And I says, yeah, I'm going to do that. And so the kid looks up at me from the wheelchair, and he says, my uncle says that you're eccentric and a little crazy, but that you're the only one that could train me for the National Wheelchair Bodybuilding Championships. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't even know the kid could talk, let alone be in the National Wheelchair Bodybuilding Championships. I said, just give me a minute, will you? Remember, I just heard the news about the other kid. So I went outside in my beautiful South Florida sky, and I thought, could that have been Robbie, you know, from heaven or whatever you might call it? Could it have been him? Because he would have liked Chris, I think. He wouldn't have wanted me to quit either, I'm sure. And so I just stood there, and I didn't know what the hell to do. I mean, let's face it, it's traumatic. So I just took a deep breath. I walked back into the gym, and I looked at the kid. I said, okay, here's the story. You do what I tell you, when I tell you, or you're out of here. And so, long story short, I trained him for almost a year, and he won the lightweight division of the National Wheelchair Bodybuilding Championships.
Oh, my gosh, Rico, that's amazing. Really, really amazing.
He came up to me afterwards at this big banquet they have for them, and he puts his head on my shoulder, you know, because he's in his wheelchair, and he's holding his trophy, and he said, this is the happiest day of my life. And he put his head on my shoulder, and I just thought, oh, God, am I a sap? Of course, I didn't let him know that, but, you know, inside, I was definitely being a sap, okay? But anyways, that said, the book has a lot of things like that in it. I mean, there's ups and there's downs, just like life. And once people realize that, you know, I think that no matter what they're reading, at some moment, they will be inspired to go on in their life and overcome obstacles in their life for jobs, for relationships, and they might stick to it better, and maybe the world will be a better place for them if they just can learn to communicate.
That is so wonderful. And so what do you hope that the readers will get from the book?
I was thinking about this the other day when I was writing my thing for the Big Idea book. I wrote about impossible. In other words, what is impossible? Define to me what impossible means. I mean, no matter what situation you're in, nothing's really impossible if you think about that. My grandmother was born in 1880s, and in her life, she saw cars, indoor plumbing. She saw airplanes. Can you imagine being in 1880 going up to somebody and saying, you know what, I just looked at that bird up there. I think I'm going to make a machine that will fly. They'd put you in the loony bin, you know. But that was impossible. TV was impossible. Radio was impossible. And yet, here we are putting a man on the moon and computers and the internet. And she saw all of that. So when you talk about impossible, there is no such thing as impossible. As long as you've got a strong will and an unbelievable plan of action.
Again, so powerful. The time with you has just been so amazing and so powerful. Rico, people want to connect with you. Do you have some place on the web they can do that?
My biggest thing, if they want to connect with me and for any advice or anything, is ricoworldwide@aol.com, my email. And I'm on LinkedIn. And there's a lot of things on LinkedIn that, as you know, that there's a lot of good people, and I have, God, I think there's 33 million people that somehow are connected to me on that thing. So there's a lot of things, a lot of people, a lot of good advice on that business site.
Oh, wonderful. Rico, thank you so much for being with us, and we're so excited about your book, which is going to be coming out next month, and it's just thrilled to have you here sharing so much hope and wisdom and just powerful, powerful inspiration.
Well, thank you. I think that that's a great compliment. And anytime I can help, I'm here.
All right. Thanks so much, Rico. And for all of you out there that would like to know more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com, and everyone have a wonderful week.